Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, you lovely lot, to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's to my right.
Hello.
Luke Moore's to my other right.
I'm as cold as ice.
And Pete Donaldson's opposite.
And I'm willing to sacrifice.
Yes, I should think so. Football ramble time.
MS runs the show.
That sounded very Richard Keys-esque, Mark.
Oh, yeah. He's hairy enough.
You've had quite the journey from the anti-Richard Keys, and you're now almost like an ersatz Richard Keys.
Cheerleader for Keys, you could argue. Now he's not in the country.
Well, I think what you've done is you've thought, he's not here anymore. There are some shoes to fill.
That's what Malky Mackay's thinking.
And you thought to yourself, I don't necessarily want to fill them myself,
yeah,
but it would be heartbreaking for me for someone else to fill them. So I'm going for
it. He's the keys we need rather than the one we deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Marcus is very much, rather than your key to sport, Marcus is the key to the shed. But no one else is allowed.
No, the magic spell that we all fall upon.
Okay.
I thought you were going to use the name Speller there.
Speller, yeah, I could do, yeah. I could do. Okay, you carry on. I'll have a think about it.
No football chat. Can't be asked. Come on. Get on with it.
I sat on a joke working it out for 5 minutes on the continent the week before last. I'm not above it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I listened to that, rather.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw your face in my mind chewing it over.
Yeah. I hope you realise, Luke, if I'm Richard Keys, which I'm emphatically not, ladies and gentlemen, or a fan of his work, then you're Andy Gray.
Taking it.
Are you? Yeah.
Revolutionised punditry.
Oh, this is the real
hell of a goal record.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I mean post-football.
Yeah, we all know what you meant.
Pictures of the pair of them in your attic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You mean Keys post-TVAM as well, don't you?
I mean the one when he started to outrageously be inappropriate to Ulrika Johnson.
Mm. Oh, that's...
Can I be Anne Diamond? Well,
incredibly, that still counts as the good old days, doesn't it? Which is really saying something.
Yeah. Poor old Richard.
Shall we talk about the Premier League?
Yes.
It's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Keys invented it, so...
Thank you to Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Ordinarily, we're probably the most supportive international football show around, I would say. Most people are quite dismissive of it. The other shows that are similar to ours but not as good are very dismissive of international football, but we support
and that's
it.
A shame.
Pete aside, we support
it. I like international football, I just don't like England.
Okay, that's fair.
I think it's fine.
I think that's where most people find themselves. Yeah. And I think, as we will mention a little bit later on in the show, you can still, in the same way, if you support Portsmouth, for example, you can still enjoy the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, even if you support Arsenal, Jim, you can still enjoy the Premier League.
Yeah.
If you support England,
certain months of the year.
If you support England, you can still enjoy international football. And that's what we're here to tell you, everybody.
Do you remember Euro 2008? England weren't there. And what a gift to the tournament that was.
Yeah.
My point was just going to be that, so normally, we are looking forward to the Premier League again coming back because it feels like a little bit more fast paced, a bit more exciting. But actually, this international break we've just experienced has been quite good.
It's been brilliant.
So, if anything,
like
we're just maintaining a standard.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're maintaining the standard across the board.
International football break is like, I don't know, a public holiday coming along. You really appreciate it. But if suddenly every Monday was a bank holiday Monday, I mean, the world would be a better place, let's be honest. Yeah.
You've mugged yourself off.
I have really, haven't I? Yeah.
Let's do
the
Premier League. We'll do international football later.
It's like Easter and Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
But you can't have those two events all the time.
It's like the Elgin Marbles and Toby Jugs.
You always bring up the Elgin marbles.
Yeah, and you always go, they're not marbles, you prick.
Yeah.
And they're not from Elgin either.
No.
Why do you keep bringing them up?
Yeah. You know, I just think we should return them.
He mentions them almost as much as Marcus mentions the strength of the pound. Which happens an awful lot.
True, actually. You are really up on that all the time.
Yeah, I've been abroad a fair few times.
Oh,
we know
you
have. Hits me hard every time.
We know you have. Firing your high-powered weapons at farmyard animals.
Look after the pennies and they'll look after you.
Yeah. Well, that used to be the case.
Yeah. We haven't got time for this now. Premier League.
He's got pockets full of old pounds there.
I actually counted mine out today.
Did you?
I've got eight.
Eight old £1 coins.
Yeah.
I've been using them in loads of vending machines.
What's the cut-off date? 21st?
God knows. But apparently a high street retailer, I think it might be W.H. Smith. In fact, I think it is W.H. Smith. People were complaining that they've been giving out old pounds.
Right.
And W.H. Smith went, well, we can't sort of legislate for what the banks are giving us back.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you legally can't do that, surely.
Why are the banks giving them out?
I know. Crazy.
Mad.
Maybe they've got a bad bank.
Yeah, maybe.
W.H. Smith, sort your banking out, all right? Mm. Yeah?
My goodness.
If you take one message away from this show...
W.H. Smith gone mad.
Yeah. Shall we talk about the Premier League?
Yeah.
Well, you could pull it back, yeah.
Which I have.
Yeah.
pull the strings, mate.
Manchester United. Some people might say pound for pound the best team in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They faced their biggest test this season on Saturday away to Liverpool.
So
it's an
far,
intriguing
yeah.
one. Yeah, so far this season.
Fantastic piece of PR coming out I would suggest coming out of Man United today, but being peddled by some media, I don't know which. Love the timing of this. You guys might not have seen it. For some reason in the news today, 2 days ahead of the big game between Man United and Liverpool, and ahead of a Jurgen Klopp press conference, a guy called Eckhard Krautzen, who used to work with Jurgen Klopp at the turn of the century, I think
at
Mainz.
That's right.
Gave an interview saying Jurgen Klopp's dream was always to manage Man United.
Yeah, I saw that.
When I read it, I could just picture Mourinho's eyebrow raising.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Got him
done
well.
Say the next line I told you to say.
But funny enough, Eckhard Krautzen, who I'd never heard of before this, for those who haven't seen,
made up by a
wonderful name.
I can assure you, he's real.
You literally can't.
I can assure you. I'm going to give you a bit more information on
him. Have you met him or touched him,
Peter?
There's no time for that now.
We're touching. He's Kevin Carruthers' father. That's how we know he's real.
Eckhard Krautzen, who used to work at Klopp, as I said, and has come out saying this stuff. He used to manage a team called Wormatty or Worms.
That's a great name.
They're a local team in Germany, apparently.
Worm at your worm.
Would it be Wormack?
It's spelt like worm. It's spelt like worm. Wormatia. Worms.
Worms.
Yeah. Remember when Wolfgang Wolf used to manage Wolfsburg?
Yeah.
It's up there with that.
They should really enjoy football after that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And the pound was strong.
The main PR machine is working overdrive ahead of this game, trying to unsettle Kloppo.
Do you think Mourinho brings his own?
Yeah.
Do you think he brings his own like PR team? Because that is strong mind games.
Have you heard
that's
of Georgie
incredible.
Mendes?
Yeah, I was about to say.
One of the most powerful men in football.
You're either with us or against us, is his motto.
Yeah.
But it's funny you say that, because there was some quite nice PR coming out of Liverpool. I thought that when the players were... It was a shame that they've lost Sadio Mane to injury again. Mm. Oh, he's going to be a
Well, they really struggled badly last season without him, so it's a big blow for them.
They did, but the reports from the Liverpool training ground showed the players happily returning to training. Plenty of hugs and high fives being it looked like a lovely old time with those players and Kloppo. Yeah. So they're not affected by this man's comments.
They can't defend, though, can they? I mean, what's he congratulating him on? Were any defensive players in that?
Okay. maybe one or two. I couldn't see any.
Well, was he shouting over to the defensive lot going,
come over here and have a hug.
These guys are getting a carrot. You'll be getting a stick in a minute.
Exactly.
If you want up in the net.
Yeah. Lovren's got his foot caught in the net. Tied his shoelaces together.
If you want a hug... Get that ruddy clean sheet.
Get in position. But what would say, it's a great time for Man United. We talk about Man United's kind of start. They played, I'm not going to say also-rans, but they've not had the strongest kind of start
this
season. They've had an easy start. And now they play Liverpool, who are at their leakiest.
If Man United win this one, Peter, it'll be their best ever start to a Premier League season.
Incredible start.
And then they've got Huddersfield and Swansea, eminently beatable teams. Huddersfield's probably the hardest of the three.
Have they just refused to play anyone good? We'll compromise here. We'll play Liverpool at Anfield, but that's it.
Yeah.
Jorge Mendes, mate.
Yeah.
Powerful man.
But Liverpool haven't had a clean sheet in 7 games. Manchester United are on the verge of their best ever start to the Premier League. It's all set up for a Manchester United win. You would think, Jim.
Come on. Can I be, sorry, Jim, to cut in, but can I just, before I forget this, can I just put this out there, that, and it may sound preposterous at first mention, but I think that Man United might really miss Marouane Fellaini this weekend.
Do you know what? I thought
plan
that
B
as well.
That's become the plan.
Well, he started the season
A,
well.
B, and C.
And someone was saying to me the other day, we were having a chat about United and stuff, and someone was saying to me, you do not understand how massive Marouane Fellaini is for United in both penalty areas.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's brilliantly defensively and a real attacking threat as well. Even if he doesn't score himself, just mixing it up big time. You know when you see like Andy Carroll at peak form, and it's almost like the idea of defending against him rather than actually defending against him is what causes the problem.
Yes.
And obviously, Fellaini's out of this game, as is Pogba's out as well, isn't he? Yeah. So there are players missing that could be important for both teams.
Pogba's gone full Hargreaves and he's like releasing training videos of him kind of getting stronger and stronger. I went back. I got obsessed. I forgot about Owen Hargreaves' amazing training videos. Remember, he was trying to get fit and he was trying to get a new club. Yeah. And he just released loads of videos. I counted up how many views he had. And he had like about 4 million views over his whole account.
Yeah.
More than they get watching.
Didn't monetize him.
They should have done.
He could have been the new Spencer FC. KSI. Like, he could have made $8,000 I worked out on those videos.
He's missed out on that.
Idiot. Yeah, it's a niche for you, Pete.
Yeah.
Go around. Pete, getting a cut off all that.
Can this become a regular feature? Footballers who aren't monetising videos?
Yeah. Footballers who could be getting a bit more.
Petr Cech's drumming videos. I bet he's not monetising them.
No.
They do have content that don't belong to him because it's music.
Is this the official launch of Pete Dawson Consulting?
Come on, guys. We're in the 21st century. Get involved.
Sorry. Come on, guys. Come around to mine. We'll do a mood board.
Let's work on brand Michael Owen. Oh, you already have.
Yeah, badly. So Liverpool 13-8 with Bet365 to beat Man United on Saturday. So £10 returns, £26.25 including the stake. It's a great game to start off the weekend, isn't it? It's
really
exactly
is
what we want.
Yeah, I'm
cracking.
One of the things
Jim, you far away.
What was
Mark,
I
going to say? I think the listener should know. Mark has got so excited there, he tried to point at someone and knocked his own headphones.
Yeah.
That's the level of professionalism we're talking about.
I quite often bump my own nose on the microphone to the point where you guys have stopped laughing at it. I do it so often. It's nice to see you take one for the team, though, mate.
It's a bit tragic now when you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I heard the pound had a spike. Yeah. No, talking of people going on about training and trying to find a new club. Adriano, Brazilian Adriano, really? At the age of 35,
right,
has been speaking recently, saying that I've been
do a lot of speaking down there, don't they? They do a lot of speaking, very little training.
He said that he's looking for one last job, and I thought, I think Mourinho managed him at Inter. Could he bring him and Zlatan Ibrahimovic again?
You are giddy today.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a great video doing the rounds at the moment of someone's done a compilation of the best players that Ronaldinho's embarrassed in his career. Have you seen that? Right. So it's a compilation video of about 3 minutes long. Mm. And so what it does is it starts off a particular game, a moment in a game, with Ronaldinho on the ball, and it freeze frames it, points an arrow to a player and says who it is, and it'll be like Steven Gerrard or Sergio Ramos. Mm. And then it just plays a video of basically Ronaldinho going past them and them ending up on their arse.
Yeah.
And then goes to the next one. And it's like a who's who of players.
That's fantastic.
It's incredible.
All cut to Evanescence.
Yeah. It probably is cut to something like that. Yeah.
Also, even then, he wasn't really bothering to train, which makes it all the more astounding.
He's going in for massages, isn't he, Fridays?
Absolutely.
But I'm excited for this game to start the weekend off. I think it'll be a great way to get going.
Yeah. Mourinho wasn't best pleased that Romelu Lukaku came off the bench for Belgium against Cyprus, as the Belgians had already qualified. And Lukaku's not long recovered from an ankle injury, but looks like he'll be fully fit for the match. And that is certainly what Mourinho deduced from that.
You mentioned on the continent about the two Hazards, or the three Hazards,
just
rather.
Three of them, yeah.
Three
of
them. The two Hazards didn't want to pass to Lukaku because they wanted an exclusively Hazard score sheet.
Is that right?
Because they'd only scored each.
That's funny.
One thing's worth pointing out about Lukaku.
He's not a Hazard.
He's not. He's just come back from a knock, hasn't he?
Like ankle.
His record of the amount of games he's played is unbelievable. I mean, if you bear in mind that he is, 24, I think he's just 24, I think he turned 24 this year. He's played, I think, something like, I think he's played on average of like 40-odd games a season, every season.
That's going to pull your ratio down, isn't it?
Yeah. apart from, obviously, when he couldn't get in the team at Chelsea. That aside, he's so consistent. If you look at when he first signed for Everton on loan, 33 games, then 48 games, then 46 games, then 39 games. I mean, he's so reliable.
I like the fact that you look at those stats and you say, so reliable, so consistent, and you're right to take that from there. Pete, well, that'll bring his ratio down.
Yeah.
Well, is he trying to... Is Lukaku scores, you know, a hat-trick or something? Don't play him in the next one.
He's got 11 in 10 this season.
It's not a Ballon d'Or bothering, is it?
No.
Peter...
Peter Donaldson.
What? Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of the narrative we're hearing about...
I said Ballon d'Or bothering.
Let Jim speak.
But you're saying it's not Ballon d'Or bothering that he scored 11 goals in 10... What else is he supposed to do?
It's more than one in one, isn't it?
If he carries on like
this... It's a bad idea, playing too many
games.
Take
the rest of the season off. Your ratio's not getting any better than that, is it?
If he carries on this season, he'll score 55 goals. Goals is not happy. Jim, carry on. Sorry,
what I was going to say was, you know, a lot of the narrative around Lukaku in the past has been that he doesn't sort of do so well against the top teams. And obviously, this is his first real chance to kind of to dispel that now that he's at United. And I remember in the game at Anfield last season, Joel Matip, this is Liverpool against Everton, obviously when Lukaku was there, Joel Matip was particularly good against him. So I think that's going to be quite an interesting little battle.
Dynamic,
Yeah. I think Man United fans would hope that Lukaku, because you're right, Lukaku has struggled against bigger opposition when he played for Everton. When he got that goal in the Super Cup final against Real Madrid, I think a lot of people were thinking, surely that will kick him on, you know, but that was a little while ago now in very different circumstances.
This season though, Mark.
But he looks unstoppable at the moment.
He's scoring against every team he plays against. So I take your point, Jim, and it will be fascinating to see what goes on, but I mean, he can't really do any more than he's done already.
No, quite. He's getting more chances, isn't he? I mean, it's the simple thing, you know, you get more chances with better players around you, and that is it's just working in as straightforward a manner as that.
Of course, Mo Salah at the other end of the field to Romelu Lukaku. He's been great this season. He'll be in high spirits after Egypt qualifying for the World Cup, of course.
They really love him out there because he didn't he didn't play for any of the two big clubs. He was kind of so that's why they love him so much. They didn't play for the Manchester United or the
Zamalek, I think.
So there's not a group of fans there that can hate him.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
The last time they qualified was in World Cup 90. I remember them.
That's right.
They were in England's group.
They were.
And England beat them 1-0. Mark Wright header. And that sent them home, didn't it? Because all the other games were draws, weren't they?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. Trip down memory lane.
Mark Wright was playing a sweeper at the time, wasn't he? How stubbornly defensive England were at the time.
Maybe a John Stones header will put them out next time.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We can but dream.
Indeed we can. Should we talk about Leicester City?
Yeah, they've not won a game for ages, have they?
Not since August. They have had a tough run, Arsenal, Manchester United, Liverpool and Chelsea. They still look fairly lively. Craig Shakespeare has said that his players need to adapt to some different roles in the team, and he's been playing their what we now expect from Leicester City, sort of 4-4-2 formation. Obviously they've lost a fair few players in the last few seasons, most notably Kante and now Drinkwater, but King and Ndidi have been in there, but he may switch it up. To be honest with you, Craig Shakespeare, I think they just keep going.
Yeah, it's just a time of the season, Marcus, where we talked a bit there about Manchester United having a fairly easy start, and of course a pretty easy Champions League group as well, actually. Leicester have had quite a tough start. And you're at that point in the season now, however many games has gone, 7 or 8 or whatever, where you can think, God, they've had a bad start. But actually, it'll even itself out over the next 7 or 8 games because they'll probably play a lot more realistic opposition. Who are they playing this weekend? West Brom.
West Brom.
So there you go. So we'll see. We'll get the measure of them then, I suppose.
Shakespeare's been saying that they need to sort of basically run harder and work harder off the ball, and this is a perfect game because Tony Pulis will make you work hard, even if you don't want to. He'll coach them more than Shakespeare will, just by forcing them to play his game.
Having said that about Leicester, though, they did draw the two winnable games they've had, Huddersfield and Bournemouth. They drew both
away to Bournemouth. They looked a bit poor.
Yeah,
but you can have those kind of games. I think we are giving Leicester the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and they could have won against Arsenal on the first day as well,
and against Liverpool. It was a 3-2, and it was a bit hectic.
Yeah. I think with Shakespeare's comments, you know, he's saying obviously they need to sort of, you know, run harder, be a bit more intense. It sounds like, you know, what he wants describes the season in which they won the league. And you wonder if, you know, as you said, with Kante and Drinkwater were such a big part of that and they're gone now. You wonder, are they having a tiny bit of an identity crisis where actually looking back to that is probably not what's going to work for them now?
Yeah, I mean, those two central midfield positions are obviously crucial to any side.
I think indeed he's been all right.
He's been decent. He's a good engine, and King as well is quite an accomplished player.
He's been there a long time.
And King did feature when they won the league. If you can get that partnership right, I think you're fine, because Maguire's come into the side, has looked brilliant. Now, that gives Huth and Morgan backup. Now, Huth and Morgan have been around for a long time, so they do need some younger blood in there, and they've got it with Maguire, who's got his first England call-up as well. It's all there. I find Leicester quite intriguing. You know, 17th, 5 points from 7 games, but really they should start. You know, the local media up in Leicestershire are saying, we will start to pick up points now. We will start to get going. It's a shame that they are down in 17th, because with the league the way it is, with so many teams being able to take points off each other, it's not ridiculous to say Leicester should be even maybe targeting something like a Europa League push. I'm not sure if they would get it, but it's a fair
it's
comment.
It's a big ask for them, though, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the way that the league's going to be structured this season, seven teams are much better than the rest. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them to... You're asking them essentially to be the best of the rest. Which is what I agree, by the way, is what they should be aiming for.
Aiming is what I'm saying.
Right, okay.
But then you look at Everton.
Yeah.
I mean, Leicester, I would say this season have been better than Everton, even though Everton are above them in the league. They've had a much harder run in, you know. So the way they're going, they could finish above some sides who would expect to finish above Leicester this season.
I think Everton have got to be higher than that. Like, they're in big trouble. That's a failure for them otherwise.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
I was going to say, before we move on from that, if you do fancy West Brom to pile a bit more misery on Shakespeare and his boys, they're 14-5 with Bet365, which means £10 will return £38, including stake.
Tony Pulis, of course, has been linked to the Wales job because Chris Coleman's future is up in the air there, but Pulis said, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, but Coleman, I mean, he was asked about it. I mean, obviously, it was a disappointing night for them. To be fair to Wales and to Coleman, I think that was the first time they'd lost, I think, I've got to get this right, the first time they lost a competitive game at home in 4 years. Mm. So they've had a great run. And Coleman was asked straight after if he was going to consider his position, which I thought was a bit unfair, yeah, given what
same
he's
same as
happened achieved
to Strachan.
Yeah, but that wasn't unfair.
No.
I thought Coleman should be given a bit more respect. Now, I understand the media have got to do their job, but I thought that was a little bit quick. And he didn't really give any sort of committed answer up one way or another. But I guess the rumour mill is now saying that he might move on. Is that right?
The team apparently unified and basically said, can you stay on, please?
That's nice. We've got the UEFA Nations League starting soon, so that's
well,
very exciting.
You know.
Did the Scottish players try and get Strachan to stay? Well, I mean, Strachan's obviously gone. David Moyes
Mark
has
McGee
been...
was found in a net. The players had just covered him in a net.
It was nice of Mark McGee to agree to leave as well. I wouldn't want to be the one to tell him.
I just left Motherwell about 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Have a word.
Yeah, DJ. I think David Moyes, I don't think is a ridiculous shout. I mean, the other name that's been linked to the job is Malky Mackay. And some people were moaning, I tweeted this earlier, people moaning about David Moyes. Well, when the other name's Malky Mackay, you'll be bloody happy with David Moyes.
Is David Moyes, I understand why you're saying that, obviously, and he hasn't managed a team for... he's like, isn't he the performance director at Scotland as well? I think he's in some sort of role at the Scottish FA at the moment, but obviously he hasn't managed a team since Wigan
since Everton.
In 2015. No, Malky Mackay I'm talking about.
Oh, Mackay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And, and so I understand why you're saying that about Mackay, but is Moyes a totally busted flush now? I mean, is he...
I'd much rather...
about as busted a flush as he can
yeah,
get.
Can
really?
We, yeah,
yeah.
Is this a place where he can really rebuild his reputation if that's what he wants? I don't think that'd be the best fit for him.
One of the things that's absolutely fascinating about David Moyes, right, and I know it's going to sound ridiculous, but he's only 54.
I know what you mean.
So he's basically managed. He took over at Preston, so he got into management. He took over at Preston. I think he might have been player manager at the start a long time ago. In 1998, he was in his mid-30s. So now he's only 54. He has been round the block. So many times.
I think the word is ringer. Keep me through the ringer.
But Pete, if someone said to me, how old is David Moyes, I'll be saying late 60s.
You'll be saying that, surely.
I'm just saying, he seems a lot older. Because I was going to say, oh, is this about the right time for Moyes? Because he's a very experienced... But what would you think is the par age, everything being well in your management career, for you to go for an international job? It'd probably be about 60, wouldn't it?
You're looking at probably your last job, aren't you?
Yeah, quite.
That's the sort of traditional path.
Yeah.
I mean, Scotland could attract some decent kind of continental talent, surely. They've got the money.
But apparently they don't want that. I was doing the radio the other week. We talked to, I forget who it was now, but it was someone involved in the Scotland setup, and they were saying they don't want a foreign manager. They said that the fans don't really want, after Bertie Vokes, it didn't really work, because people would try to link Big Sam with a job.
That would have been amazing. Big Sam! Yeah. You know he would mug off England as well.
There you go.
Bertie Vokes was so long ago, though.
I know.
But
Football's changed so much. Scottish football hasn't, let's make that very clear. But
I think that's right from you. I mean, yeah, it was so long ago, and I think that's fair. But when I see the shortlist apparently being Moyes and Mackay, you think, have the Scots not suffered enough? They have suffered enough.
Is it time to bring back a certain someone?
Yeah, it could be.
Knows how to get them to...
That's Craig Brown for everyone listening.
He won a match where the opposition didn't turn up.
He did.
Remember that?
I do remember. Was that Estonia,
I think it was.
Was it Estonia?
They didn't turn up because they were protesting because of the change of the time. Basically, they had some really shoddy floodlights, I think. And so they had to play the match during the day. They refused and they didn't turn up. And so the Scottish team had to turn up with like shin pads and all their kit on, get on the field, kick off, and then go, yeah, I win.
If that happened every qualification game, would Scotland qualify?
I don't think I don't think Scotland were actually given the points.
I think they had to play again. Typical brownie lock.
That's unreal. But Marcus, whoever takes the job now, is it fair to say that they? I mean, unless it's a head geneticist, it's going to be very difficult. By the way, that Strachan thing is going to run and roll with our listeners, and you'll find out why in looking ahead to the weekend.
Indeed,
it keeps popping up.
Can they extract tall Scottish DNA out of amber, maybe, and make super Scotsman?
Dr. John Hammond from Jurassic Park. He was Scottish.
Well,
yeah. So maybe roll him out.
Something there. Anything encased in tablet, maybe. Yeah. Shall we have some correspondence, Peter?
Yes, we shall have
some
correspondence. I'm ready. Shut up. David says, all right, Ramblers, please tell me you've seen this. Mike Dean, the one and only, acting as caddy during the Ladies European Golf Tour Lacoste event.
Okay. Mm.
He was just caddying for a golfer, apparently. Very strange. Right.
Maybe he likes a good walk.
Brilliant. Maybe he does. James Taylor. Hello, James Taylor. Not that one. Morning chaps. Following on for your conversation about worldies being scored against Wimbledon, I want to chip in. Step forward, Crystal Palace. Kasami's over-the-shoulder volley for Fulham. Sidwell's wonder volley for Fulham. Same game.
Yeah.
Matty Phillips' 45-yard shot for QPR. Dele Alli flicking spinning volley from outside the box. The Premier League goal of the season. Yeah. Andy Carroll dragging himself off his sickbed to pull a fly scissor kick out of the back for West Ham. Olivier Giroud, almost impossible flying backheel volley, the current FIFA World Goal of the Year nominee. And finally, only the other week, Fabian, known for his wonder goals, Delph, sticking at top bins. I'm sure there'd been more, but like any good trauma, my brain has probably blocked them.
It makes it so much funnier that Andy Carroll was ill.
I suspect that every fan of every club will think, oh, we always get bad goals.
Yeah, we always get bad goals.
On the Palace thing, I'm taking you way back to the late 90s now, but I was at Sellers Park once, and it was when Portsmouth and Crystal Palace were in the second tier.
Yeah.
And Crystal Palace went 2-0 up at half time, and they were cock-a-hoop, because there was like a bit of a rivalry at the time between Palace and Portsmouth, and Sean Derry was playing for Palace at the time, and he used to play for Portsmouth, and I remember him picking up the ball. They were 2-0 up and taking the piss, and Derry picked up the ball. Derry, he wasn't known as like a very skillful player, and he was putting his foot on the ball and giving the old Hulk Hogan to the fans.
Bloody hell.
Know, in the first half. And then Pompey turned it around 1-3-2, which is amazing. One of my greatest ever football memories. So that might chime into the fact that Crystal Palace fans are unlucky, because that was against Portsmouth.
I remember one of the stand. Who were they sponsored by? It was a computing firm, I think, back in the 90s.
Who, Palace?
Palace.
Yeah, there
was Hewlett Packard. No, it wasn't
Hewlett Packard. There was one stand that was sponsored.
One stand
by,
it was sponsored because they were just doing it up, and it was a complete a building site. And Peter Beasley just shimmied the hell out of the defence. He just turned them inside out. It was
there was a Premier League years on, I think it was last night, and it was, I want to say, 95, 96.
Right.
The reason I'm saying that is because they were talking about Blackburn struggling. Did they struggle after the year after they won the Premier League?
Yeah, they
struggled to start of next season. Mm. And Beardsley was it, and he was brilliant.
He was a fantastic footballer.
He just looks like the most unlikely footballer. When he speaks to
him. Beardsley shimmy, man. This is nothing like
it. Here's a big shout, but the way Beardsley used to move, obviously, not as effective, not as great.
Messi.
It's true.
Similar shit.
Hey, was that the season that Newcastle signed Ginola?
Ginola, Ferdinand at the same time, wasn't it? Yeah. So it might have been, yeah.
Okay. Ginola
was involved in the league run when they finished second.
Because Keegan had to lie to Hall or Freddie Shepherd and say that Beardsley was 2 years younger.
Oh, really?
To get him in because.
And they
just went with it.
Can you imagine how nervous Keegan must have been before that? Imagine Kevin Keegan setting himself up to lie to someone. Oh, the trauma, going through the anxiety.
How did it go? It went fine, but I accidentally took in Peter Beardsley's birth certificate with me.
Tipped to my forehead.
I set it on fire. He technically doesn't exist now.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank all the emails supporting me on my point last week about Matt Murray. I've accepted Luke's apology.
Oh, that is outrageous by you, Dawson. You got Hawkins for that.
Harry Hawkins on email. Let me move on. Yeah. I've got to get through these emails.
Yeah.
Harry Hawkins, he shared a urinal at Fratton Park this week, and Stuart Pearce did not wash his hands, apparently.
Yeah. Stuart Pearce doing a bit of training work down there.
Yeah. Mm. Was later seen shaking hands with fans.
Oh, God.
Which is foul.
So, when I found out that he was doing that work down there, I thought, is this punishment for me? Should only be gone by March?
Yeah, maybe.
Hello to Ross Scottish, who's never seen Scotland at a major tournament and never effing will. F you, all of you, apart from Jim, for England scoring that equaliser against Scotland. Kind regards.
Yeah, okay.
It's not our fault. I don't know why Jim's exempt.
No, I'll take it though.
Inoffensive.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Jim's flicking him a V sign right now.
Yeah. Jim's the worst one in a way.
Yeah. In a way.
Yeah.
So we got some looking ahead to the weekend later, mate. So that's it. That's it. It's fine.
They've had a good run there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You want one more?
Go on. Yeah, go on,
give us one. Yeah, give us one more.
Okay. One for the road.
Oi, oi. On for the road.
You're around.
Oh, it's really confusing. I've confused myself now with all my pages.
Literally one job.
With all my pages. Mm. Dan, on behalf of Straya, I think it's fair for me to, you know, eat a bit of humble pie with what happened in the Australian match. My highlight of the week was watching the shining beacon of light in an otherwise dismal game that is the mighty Tim Cahill. The man is a legend, scoring our two goals, one deep in extra time to see off a valiant Syria. To be fair, I nearly shat myself when Syria hit the post on that free kick at the death, which was a great free kick.
Oh,
the guy was in tears before he hit it. It was incredible.
Yeah, they're all so tired, the Syria.
They were so knackered.
Yeah.
But Australia's greatest ever goal scorer had already done the work with his glorious little head. He's got to be one of the greatest headers of the ball at that height.
Crazy.
He's not a tall man.
Yeah, that's his 50th goal for Australia.
Incredible.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah,
incredible. So now we have to play about 10 times better against either Panama or Honduras in the second playoff next month.
I heard the other day, and all this stuff came out about, I mean, people were just talking about Cahill because he scored that scored that goal, but he apparently represented Samoa at youth level.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was born in Australia, but he spent a bit of time as a child in Samoa.
Mm.
And I think there was some sort of... It wasn't like a really young... It was like an under 21 or something, like under 20 right. World Championship or something. And he represented Samoa before going back to Australia and then playing for another
reason for me to dislike him.
What's wrong with Samoa?
He's a turncoat, isn't he?
Yeah, imagine being a top level footballer.
Stanley Flarcross.
And having to fly to Samoa. I mean, for international break. It'd be crazy. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more international football, ladies and gentlemen, after this.
I've never felt as bad ever.
Like a welcome outing. Yeah. A welcome outing.
Oh, that always enriches me.
Yeah.
Tim Sherwood there.
Because it's one of those ones you forget about. It's lovely to get a reminder, isn't it?
I picture his face as well. Yeah. His face matches up exactly with that despondent tone.
Yeah.
I never felt as bad ever.
Yeah, it's good.
What was the result?
Were they 3-0 up or something and lost 4-3?
I can't remember. But they were ahead and they had a terrible result. It was when he was at Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was indeed. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, let's treat ourselves. Let's go to the Americas because the CONCACAF and CONMEBOL qualifiers for the World Cup ended in a fantastic fashion. We said it wasn't going to be boring. My goodness. By Jovi, Pete Donaldson, we were treated to one hell of a night, weren't we?
In the words of David Bowie, I don't know where I'm going, but I promise it won't be boring. I'll try not to bore you.
They do know where they're going. Russia.
Yes.
Not all of them. The US are not.
They're not. No.
The USA.
My favourite...
Clinton's been having a lovely time.
Yeah, fuck you. My favourite stat to come out of this was that Fox paid $400 million for the rights to show the World Cup exclusively in America.
Oh, dear.
And now the USA haven't qualified.
Wow. We got an email from a lad who'd spent, I think, £1,000 upwards to get flights out to Russia for the World Cup.
But it would still be good to go.
Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it won't be quite the same, admittedly. But
I feel he'll be disappointed.
But the fact that... Let's hang out with some football fans. My football team is not involved. Hooray.
But the fact, though, that... Was it Fox you said, Luke?
Mm.
Brings a smirk to your face, doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, the US, they're not going to be at the World Cup finals for the first time since 1986. Mm. Stunning.
The goal that put them out was stunning.
Oh my God, was it not?
Absolute screamer from about a million miles out.
It's about 35 yards out or something.
It was perfect. It was such an inauspicious end as well because it was, you know, there was about 300 fans in the stadium. It was so quiet.
It was a surreal atmosphere, wasn't it?
Trinidad, bottom of the group, they've won just once, conceded 19 in 10 games in that group. They've not been very, very good at all. So that is a kick in the teeth. A draw would have done it for the US. And I'm sorry, fans of the US men's national team. But the real, real kicker in all of this was Jack Warner going, oh, that was good, wasn't it? I love a bit of that.
Jack Warner said it was his best moment in football.
Yeah, what a measure of a man.
Given that Trinidad and Tobago already had finished bottom by miles,
yes,
that nothing to gain from it other than a bit of pride, and well done to them for winning the game.
And also have been at a World Cup.
I know, right?
Yeah, but yeah, as you say, Jim, that does speak volumes of the man, but this is, of course, because he feels that the Americans in the form of the FBI ruined the FIFA family.
I just feel sorry for Shaq Islop. He ain't getting any punditry work in America for a little while.
No. Do you reckon he'll be held?
I don't think they'll be that spiteful.
No, not for lovely Shaka.
Well, you can't give any reason as to why the USA should finish fifth out of that group out of six teams. I mean, they finished below Panama, for goodness sake. Yeah.
Well, it was great for Panama because
their players are made in... No, wait.
No,
it was all Ecuadorians. It was great for Panama because, of course, Panama messed up, didn't they, when the US beat them 3-2 and scored two goals late doors, and Panama went out, and Mexico got the last qualifying spot.
That's right. Yeah.
So Panama, they took their chance. I mean, when I say Panama took their chances, I mean they did. They were given a goal that didn't cross the line.
So profoundly didn't cross the line.
A ghost goal, Jim.
Yeah, very much so.
It was absolutely. And then they scored the winning goal in the 88th minute, and nobody seemed that bothered, did they? It was unbelievable.
What about the ball boy / sub?
Oh, yeah, that was different.
Fantastic.
Class.
Was it a sub?
I don't know.
Either ball boy or the sub.
Yeah, because he leathered that one.
For those who haven't seen it, so obviously Panama were in the business of wasting time, and business was very good at that point. And
there was loads of work,
a lot of cramp.
The ball came off the side of the pitch. For those who haven't seen it, I would recommend you check it out. And there's an opposition player quite close to the ball.
Yeah.
But this either ball boy or sub for Panama probably runs at full pelt, I would say 30 yards, and absolutely leathers the ball almost at the hand of the player, and it flies off.
Yeah, I think the Costa Rican guys are a bit like, what's going on?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, fine. It was absolutely amazing. That country, they're in the World Cup for the first time ever. Absolutely glorious.
The US must be one of the only teams where the women's team could happily beat the men's team. Because they always qualify and they always almost get to the final.
They're one of the world's best teams. Yeah. For Panama's point of view, obviously you don't often find a football pundit saying this, but I genuinely have never heard of any of their players. Yeah. Never. Not one of them.
No.
And they finished third on a -1 goal difference. But they go to the World Cup. It's incredible. It is absolutely superb, for
that country.
A lot of the stuff I've read around the US going out, you know, from sort of US-based journalists, they're saying that actually they're not hugely surprised because, you know, Jose Altidore is there. You know, he's their main man up top. You know, it's probably a little too soon for Christian Pulisic to really sort of, you know, be doing too much on his own, and it's there's not enough. The old players are too old and the young players are too young, basically, and it's just been a bit of bad timing for them.
I understand that point of view, but we can't name any Panama players. Apart from Torres, who scored the winning goal, but that's... I only know him because he scored the winning goal.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let me tell you something now. One of those Panama forwards will, I predict now, on... ahead of the August transfer window 2018 closing, one of those Panama forwards...
League One?
We'll sign for West Ham. around £7 to 8 million.
That's the next Maulster Derby. Yeah.
It's when you're a football manager and you try and sign a player and you go to like a club and they've only got about three or four because you're on a limited database and there's only three players at each club that you can actually kind of interact with. He'll be one of them.
Yeah, he will.
Panama will have three players
Torres
he can buy.
He'll be in the Prem.
He'll play eight times for West Ham, score no goals, be farmed out on loan. One goal in the Cup.
The League Cup.
In
the Carabao.
They'll sign him by accident while looking for another striker.
Yeah.
Panama versus Iceland could happen at the World Cup and the USA versus the Netherlands can't.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
amazing. Well,
Netherlands versus Chile can't happen.
Well, God, yeah.
Panama v Iceland in the World Cup. That's what I'm talking about.
We've seen Netherlands versus Chile. We haven't seen Panama versus Iceland.
Yeah. I don't think a Panamanian's ever met an Icelandic person. I'm going to put that out there. If you're from either country and have met either, either or, I would like to know.
Mm. Well, the president of Panama, Juan Carlos Varela, announced that on Wednesday, the day after the game, and the game obviously happened in the evening, that it would be a public holiday.
Lovely stuff.
And do you know how he managed that? School was cancelled, everything.
Yeah.
All right. The president posted an image of himself late doors at the office signing the public holiday with a caption, "The voice of the people has been heard. Tomorrow will be a national holiday. You deserve it."
Lovely.
It's great, isn't it? Although independent traders going,
yeah, but most of those people of Panama have done nothing towards it.
The voice of the people have been heard. No, you fancy a jolly up.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, we're happy, but I feel that you're doing this at your own interest.
But not the players, you're back in the train.
He'll wake up forgetting he's done that.
Country notorious about flexibility when it comes to admin. Yeah. Flexible with admin.
I'll tell you what, Peter.
Fast forward 12 hours after he signed that declaration, he's just banging the door of the paper shop. I can't get a newspaper. Why is no one around? It was like Shaun of the Dead, the first scene of Shaun of the Dead.
Don't mention paper and Panama.
No, I won't.
Will the pundits say that? On paper,
there will be a lot of that going on.
Panama on paper, ladies and gentlemen. And just quickly before we move to CONMEBOL, Honduras beat Mexico 3-2. They got the playoff there. They'll be playing Australia. One of the goals in that game was one of the greatest glulls I've ever seen. Jim?
Remind me of it.
You were that giddy, you hit your head and you forgot.
Explain to the listeners.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The ball was squared.
I was thinking of the goal in the USA game, that's why.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, not only were they sort of humbled, there was a massive own goal in it as well.
There was. Well, the ball was squared to the forward, who smashes it. I think this was to make it 2-2, so they were 2-1 down, needing to win the game to have any chance. He smashes the ball, cannons off the bar, comes flying out, smacks what's his name? Ochoa, the goalkeeper.
Ochoa
on the head, and then bounces back, smacks the post and goes in. So it's an own goal by the keeper. But the keeper's just stood down, a bump off the head, and it was absolutely superb.
The World Cup's all about quirks, isn't it? That's what makes it really, really memorable. I love the Honduras H that they have on their kits. The manager has it as well. Have you seen that on the team blazer?
There was another crest, another international crest over international break, which is absolutely terrible, and I forget which one it is now. Is it the Poland one? It just says Poland on it. It might not be Poland. Anyway, there is one. If you remember it, tweet us, because I really want to see it.
Thinking three national lions. Team badges.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah. But it's, whatever the country, just says the country. It looks really budget.
I quite like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just in case. CONMEBOL, wonderful business going on down there. Lionel Messi dragged Argentina through, of course. Jorge Sampaoli, which was great, because often the manager may try and take a tiny bit of credit. He just said, today, luckily, the nationality of the best player in the world is Argentinian. Yeah, he basically just said, hands up, that guy got us through.
Yeah, I mean, great for Messi, didn't they, as well? It was a classic sort of South American encounter, because it did have that incredible performance from Messi. He was absolutely huge. I mean, even aside from the hat-trick, he had so many chances that he just forced through for himself. But it was also so dirty. Like, he got kicked the whole way through the game. Mascherano had a bit of laughters as well.
There's a lot of needle there. Peru and Colombia drew 0-0, of course, which means Colombia go through and Peru clinched the playoff spot against New Zealand. The equalising goal for Peru, scored in around the 77th minute from an indirect free kick, wouldn't have counted.
Oh, that was amazing.
Had Arsenal and Colombia goalkeeper David Ospina not touched it on its way in.
He didn't.
Mugging off Alexis Sanchez.
I don't think he saw the referee give the indirect sign. And so he went for it. The other thing about it is, I guess if you're a goalkeeper, your instinct is to go for
it. Yes.
So I guess maybe a bit of that.
I think it's just as well he did palm it. Can you imagine the referee in Peru, where the game was played? They are desperately needing a point to have any chance of survival. They are going for the goal. Somebody curls in a beautiful free kick, and the referee goes, no, indirect. The whole stadium, what? He'd have got chased out. It'd have been on a Danny Baker video.
No, he'd be on a skateboard down the hill forever.
And it's in Lima.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's sea level.
Okay, sea level.
Peru are 4-7 with Bet365 to win that first leg against New Zealand in the playoff. So £10 returns £15.71, including the stake. But just going back to the Argentina game, did you, I know you stayed up and watched the whole thing, Mark, because I didn't actually see the whole game. Was it really genuinely a case of Messi just dragging them through, or were there other good performances as well?
I think it was a case of Messi, because they didn't look that. They were the good value for the win.
Were Ecuador poor? Were they like, we're already out, whatever?
Yeah, but I mean, Ecuador went 1-0 up after about a minute.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, bloody hell.
Yeah. You were on the WhatsApp group. You were watching on bet365.com, I seem to recall.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Argentina are well. Listen, now they've qualified, and they made hard work of it. They're currently 8-1 with Bet365 to win the World Cup next year. Mm-hmm. So £10 will return £90, including stake, should they do the business. And it's funny, because everyone was talking about the fact that the best they can hope for is this playoff, wasn't it?
No need.
Don't need to now.
No need for a playoff.
They came third in the end.
It's crazy, isn't it? But yeah, what you're saying about Argentina and Messi and so on, it's the fact that they equalise quickly after. Because if you don't equalise quickly after, that game can go on and on. Obviously, that one's at altitude so on. But my goodness! But going back to Peru versus Colombia, Radamel Falcao having a little chat to the Peruvians. He's been accused. Obviously, he's denied this, but he's been accused of saying that some of the Peruvian defenders, look, take it easy.
I don't know what the repercussions are. I mean, there's nothing. I don't know of any proof that's suggesting there's anything awry here.
Watch the last few minutes of the game.
But yeah, we obviously, Marcus, for legal reasons, can't imply that's happening, so we won't.
But he's denied it.
Do you want me to draw your picture?
Radamel Falcao's denied it.
Yeah, quite.
He's like the Joy Barton of Twitter.
But I don't know what the repercussions are, if anything is seen to be awry anyway.
Well, you know who else denied it as well?
Who's that?
A man in the Peruvian coaching setup called Norberto Solano.
Oh yeah, Nobby.
As he would do. He's an honest man.
But yes, you'd love
and they are an honest team.
You want presumably you want Peru to be there because then Nobby will be there in some capacity.
He'll be there in some capacity. He'll be in hand.
imagine if he pundited, but instead of talking, he just played the trumpet.
Mm.
Or if that's how he gives his instructions.
What did you think of Peru's performance, Nobby?
I had a recurring fantasy when I was a child.
Oh, good lord.
Oh, good lord.
And you say I'm the Joey Barton of this show.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with Roy Castle. Remember Roy Castle? He used to do record breaking.
Yeah. The late, great
and
Roy
he Castle. He used to play the trumpet, didn't
that's
he?
Right,
every
now
and again. And I used to be an avid kind of runner. I used to do like 200 metres and stuff. And my fantasy was that at the Olympics, I'd run the 200 metres, I'd win, and they'd let me play the trumpet.
With Roy Castle?
No, at the end, yeah, like Roy Castle.
You'd be out
and,
of breath,
at
the
end.
Yeah.
This is the last thing you need.
Showing off in your fantasy.
No, yeah. I just don't understand why that was my fantasy. And I can see myself draped in like a Union Jack flag playing
you have
the
changed.
Trumpet at the Olympics.
Union Jack flag. By the way, the
you
Olympics.
You want to be the best record.
The Olympics would improve tenfold if. But any kind of track and field races, when they get over the finish line, they are handed a brass instrument and they need to play it right there and then.
Pete, you've also got quite severe asthma.
Right.
So you can't play a trumpet when you're out of breath, surely?
I can do everything that a non-asthmatic can do.
I guess it's a fantasy.
Stop limiting me.
Would you like to... Would you like your inhaler to be a giant trumpet?
Well, you get when you those little bubbles when you're first training how to use an inhaler. They give you those big bubbles.
There we go.
See,
trip down to
finish with the South American chat, Paraguay could have nabbed a playoff spot had they beaten bottom of the group Venezuela at home. They lost, and of course they didn't get the final, or the only playoff spot. Venezuela won the game, which was only their second win of the whole campaign. The Venezuela coach claimed that women were sent to his team's hotel the night before the game, possibly to distract the players from getting a good night's sleep. And he said, "We were not surprised by this. It's an old strategy."
We hear about this sort of...
It's mad, isn't it?
We hear about every sort of distraction technique you can think of happening in this type of situation, going back years. They said ahead of the World Cup game between England and Brazil in 1970 that samba bands were keeping him all night. And there was also that thing with Bobby Moore and the bracelet and all that sort of stuff. A lot of that stuff goes on more than you think, I would say.
This one's quite blatant, though.
It's bad.
Ivy's furious.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But it's good. Hopefully Falcao will stay injury-free because he's scoring the goals and we want to see him at World Cup. We missed out last time. Alexis Sanchez and Chile, they're not going to be there, which is a great, great show because it's been a golden generation for them. They've won two Copa Americas and so on and so forth. But going back to the Premier League, Arsene Wenger has said to Alexis Sanchez, "You need to focus on Arsenal now." And then he said, "But we're open to selling you in January."
Yeah, I don't see how. I've heard a bit of talk about this already today about how, because Chile haven't qualified for the World Cup, is this going to affect Alexis Sanchez's mindset? And it's like, well, I don't see how it would, because he's not the type of player to not try. I mean, I was speaking to one or two people who know a lot about how Arsenal train and stuff. He's saying that Sanchez sometimes has to be literally taken off the training ground. He loves it so much.
I mean, even, you know, watching him quite closely, obviously, as I do, like, I never worry about stuff like this when it's about his head, like, because you can see it, he's furious if he's ever taken off. Clearly, he absolutely
he wants
loves
to play,
it.
Yeah.
But I think this is the thing, isn't it? When you get in this sort of contract situation, a player is under a microscope in a way that they're not otherwise, so people are just looking for reasons that things might unravel.
Yeah, quite. Well, we'll see how he gets on against Watford.
Well, Wenger said he would speak to him the day before the game.
Yeah.
And see if where his head's at, because it's a long old trip as well. That trip will be even longer.
It's a huge disappointment. There's no question about that. And the Watford game may come too early for him, but I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think we're talking about a more broad malaise that he's accused of somehow being guilty of in the future at some point, which I don't necessarily see. The type of character he seems to be, I don't see that being a problem. But what I would say is, and I'll reiterate what I said sort of earlier this season, I personally am of the opinion, and you know, other people may disagree, I'm personally of the opinion that Arsenal are better off without him and Ozil anyway. I just feel that way.
Well, Wenger's comments, maybe he's beginning to side with you, Luke. Quite.
The Ozil thing is, to me, I don't know if I mentioned this, but just in case I haven't, to me, with Ozil, it smacks of a player who's been, or his agent has carted him around. His wage demands have limited the pool of clubs he can go to because he wants so much money.
Mm. And his performances.
none of it, he obviously hasn't had a great start of the season, Pete, you're right, but no club has bitten. So now he's sort of, because the way the news came out, it came out in the Wenger press conference today, but before that, it was the news that was put out on the sort of, you know, on the grapevine was that Ozil was now considering staying.
Yeah.
But then... Well, to me, that just smacks of someone who's not been able to find another club. Well, because, if I could just finish the point really quickly, Jim, is that if you are offered 280 grand a week and you don't want to stay, 320 grand a week isn't a tipping point. You either want to stay or you don't. Yeah, yeah. There can't be that much of a difference between it. So he obviously has decided that he wants to stay, presumably, and this is just my reading into it, because no other club that he feels suitable for has come for him.
And also, I would say his image rights possibly aren't as strong as another player possibly in his position. He's not got this kind of great character that you kind of hear about, that you get excited about. I would argue he's not the biggest shirt seller at Arsenal compared to someone like Alexis Sanchez.
No.
So you can't recoup high wages back through shirt sales and all that stuff.
You can't do that anyway. Like, image rights isn't related to that necessarily.
But you can't recoup
transfer sales through shirt sales.
But with regards to what you said, Pete, I think you make a fair
point. What do you mean? Like, say if you buy Wayne Rooney, you're not only buying Wayne Rooney, you're also buying
exposure
and you're buying his image rights.
You are, but on the shirt sales point, the clubs are.
I mean, image rights more than shirt sales. I don't mean literal shirt sales. I mean the whole kind of like image rights kind of package.
I think you make a fair point, sorry, because to say
he's an unsexy player world.
I think you make a fair point because we're talking about Alexis Sanchez, whether he goes or not. He's still putting in the hours and training, and he's still the type of player that would excite fans. Unless Ozil went to a club which was perhaps a sideways step or a less big club than Arsenal.
It's Turkey or China, isn't it?
Well, I think some people may look at him and think, do we want a player like that?
Well, the chairman of Besiktas has been very vocal saying that he'd like Ozil, and that seems to be the level he's going at. And Ozil doesn't need that move now, does he? He's 28. He'd probably rather stay at Arsenal and then do that later.
Would Besiktas pay that sort of wage?
Yeah, possibly.
Would they really? Okay, fair enough.
I mean, some of the top clubs in Turkey, they do play some pretty high.
Is it Besiktas who do that phone thing where they go, are you coming to Besiktas? And then they.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
The next
it is,
bit, is
yeah.
it Besiktas?
I think it is. Yeah. It's
the
Turkish club.
The Vodafone Arena or something there? Stadium?
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds about right.
But they are playing Watford this weekend.
They are playing Watford. Mustafi is out with an injury. Kolasinac and Koscielny are doubts. Chambers is out.
Yeah, that could mean Arsenal going back to a back four with Mertesacker and Holding. And obviously, people talk about Mertesacker's pace. He was fantastic against Chelsea in the FA Cup final, but obviously that was in a back three, so that will be an unwelcome uncertainty.
You'd imagine Arsenal be on the front foot in that game.
Yeah, well, you'd hope so, but any uncertainty is always a worry, isn't it?
I mean, Arsenal do have a number of injuries, of course, but so do Watford. They've got a fair few to come out of the physio room, but then they've got the young Brazilian player, Richarlison, and he should be involved, and he's impressed since arriving at Watford.
A great season.
Whenever I hear his name, I always think, does he do mid-mornings on Magic?
Yeah.
Richarlison here.
Yeah. I think
Tony Braxton next.
The thing that confuses me, Pete, is I heard a commentator the other day calling Richarlison.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I've heard other people calling Richarlison, so that's the big debate for me.
It's enjoyable either way.
Yeah. Well, we have to wait and see.
I like that he's been sort of, he's almost a bit, it feels a bit like a ruby in the dust, and you don't see that very much these days. No. And the scouting networks are so comprehensive.
Especially a young Brazilian player.
It's great to see.
Well, there's reports he could get a call up for the Brazilian national side now that they've qualified, and obviously they're playing a friendly in England soon. So, yeah. I mean, that would be some accolade.
That is a call up through expedience. They do not need to call it. They do not need it.
Shall we waste the air miles? Nah.
Yeah, but he's been doing well. We've seen him with his top off a lot, which suggests that he's been celebrating.
You are, mate.
Well, he has been on the field.
He's getting those Christmas bookings in early.
He is.
did he take his top off last time he scored? I think he did. He scored in the final minute, didn't he, to get a draw against West Brom, and he took his top off.
He might have done it away to Swansea.
It was away to West Brom, I think.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of times.
Oh, was it? Okay. I think he's a good player. I think he looks impressive. And I like, as you guys know, I mean, ahead of that absolute shellacking they got from Man City, I stuck my neck out for them. But there we go. I think they're a good team.
Is he going to punish Arsenal, Jim?
I think Arsenal should hopefully have enough to win this. So, I mean, you know, I might eat my words.
You're saying that Arsenal should have enough to beat Watford?
Well, I mean, Arsenal are on a good run of form. And this is an interesting test, really, because I think, you know, Watford, you've spoken about a lot this season, Luke. They're like your Premier League team at the moment. And I think they're basically, their realistic aim in the form they're in is to try and be the best of the rest, isn't it? Whereas Arsenal need to figure out where they sit in the pecking order of that six. So I think, actually, this is quite a nice litmus test, especially it being at Watford. But I think Arsenal should do it. I'm just looking forward to it being, you know, 5:30 kickoff with the evenings closing in. I'm going to try and watch it in front of an open fire.
It does feel nice this time of the year. When I was walking to the studio today, I thought, it feels so autumnal, and that is one of my favourite times of the year.
Indeed, yeah. What is our best bet with Bet365, Luke Moore?
Well, as you all know, people occupying the hot seat are dropping like flies at the moment. Mm. Our listeners are in a terrible run of form. So we've got yet a new man in the seat. It's Brendan Doherty, who's a Man United fan. And he says the following. Hi, Ramble. Same as Luke, I've been very impressed with Watford this season, and I'm sure they can beat the Gunners on an average Premier League weekend. But add several upset players into the mix, even before not qualifying for the World Cup, with Aaron Ramsey, Alexis Sanchez, and happy to kick a hornet's nest Granit Xhaka returning from international duty, I can see Watford having some well-deserved joy this Saturday. And at 4-1 with Bet365 at home, these odds seem very inviting. Get a therapist on the team bus, as they might need one on the way home. Maybe an optician for Arsene Wenger too, as no doubt he would have missed something. And then he says, Brendan, with a crocodile in the Thames, Elton John surely singing Crocodile Rock Saturday night. Now, I get that Elton John's a Watford fan, but I don't get what Crocodile in the Thames is.
Is there a crocodile in the Thames? There can't be a crocodile in the Thames. What are we thinking about?
Anyway, Watford's quite away from the Thames as well.
Exactly. So Watford are indeed 4-1 with Bet365 to beat Arsenal. So our £50 will return £250, including stake. With all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. So to reiterate, that's Brendan Doherty in the hot seat. He wants Watford to beat Arsenal. It's 4-1, so look out for it on Saturday evening.
Even with Theo Walcott in a cryptocurrency chamber, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, he's in a sort of like an ice chamber or something with Danny Welbeck.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the game.
Chilly. Stay frosty.
Indeed, yeah. Should we look ahead to the weekend?
Let's do that really quickly, because I know we're running short of time. Marcus, before we do that, did you see that your man Tom Heaton was doing a Twitter Q&A this week?
Was he?
Hashtag Ask Heat.
Oh, I didn't know.
When did you get involved?
That's why Twitter went down.
I didn't know. what would you ask him?
Do you remember me?
what's your rigorous skincare regime? Anyway, I thought you might like that. So Dave Williamson, he says, although I'm a Man City fan and not wanting United success, I'm looking forward to Liverpool finally being shown up for what they are, i.e. not title contenders. I am so tired of hearing people talk about how Klopp's clowns are title rivals when they are nowhere near the same class as City, United, Chelsea or Spurs.
What's the guy's name?
Dave Williamson.
Calm down, Dave.
I thought I'd include that because Dave might look very silly next week, and we like a bit of that. And also, I couldn't see Oliver Memories Bailey's comment, so I couldn't include it.
No.
Craig Lee, Sunderland to finally win at home. It'll be 300 days past since we last won. Kids have been conceived and born since our last win at home. And how many minutes have we led at home since then? Zero. I don't know why I bother.
Oh, dear. That's not worth a season ticket, is it?
Those Scottish fans who are crying out for David Moyes. That's what he left behind. Frankie Marriott says, this weekend in Serie A is what I'm looking forward to. Yes. The fixtures include such thigh rubbers as Roma v Napoli, Juve v Lazio and Fiorentina v Udinese, as well as the Milan derby on Sunday night. Premier League, eat your heart out. Well, Frankie, the reason I included that is because we previewed all of that on the current episode of On the Continent. So go and get that wherever you get your pods.
Presumably you're going to be reviewing it next week.
We probably will, exactly, yeah. I've got a couple more here. James Edrupt, Liverpool falling apart as Mane departs for his annual treatment table jaunt for 5 to 6 weeks. We've mentioned that already. This is a good one. Matt Elms, I'm looking forward to Harry Winks getting a hat-trick at the weekend and Marcus Spiller literally exploding with hype on next week's pod and screaming, get him on the plane, as he will inevitably do after a decent performance for an England player between now and then. Hashtag stay calm, Spiller.
Yes. Mm. I want that to happen more than him.
And I'll finish with this one. James McDonald, I'm looking forward to Aberdeen being back in action. I'm expecting a pulsating battle of genetics against Hibs.
Can I get involved with a little bit of Neville Southall?
No.
Go on.
No, you can. Yeah,
I'm obsessed. Big Nev on Twitter has been magnificent the last few weeks. He loves skeletons. He hates Tories. It's just a beautiful, beautiful... last night, if you're gay, straight, trans or anything else, confusing gay, straight and trans, you should be able to be what you want. Not live a lie without discrimination or prejudice. Somebody replies, what about Tory skeletons? They are none. They don't have souls.
Wow.
When you look at a person's eyes, you see them really trying. Someone with a million cigarettes struggling along, trying to cope best they can, humans. And then somebody replies to that, hey, Nev, can you recommend a book on your good self, please? He says, no, mate. He's got his own autobiography.
I could recommend one, In Search of Perfection. I told you all about it before. Big Nev signed it for me once.
Is that Nev's autobiography?
It's half goalkeeping manual, half sort of like his ideas about stuff. And also, has Neville tweeted much about how he tried to sue his own daughter?
No, he does not tweet about that, no.
Okay, right.
Well, he did. Well, the thing that sort of kicked off October 3rd...
Well, I mean, that is something that literally happened.
I know, but people need the chance to be able to redeem themselves.
And he has redeemed himself. October the 3rd, the start of this skeleton nonsense, was all from this tweet saying, I love the thought of recycled skeletons. Imagine walking down your street and all your dead relatives were lampposts. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I can't sue a skeleton, though, can he?
No.
A football legend has sued his 19-year-old daughter to get back £55,000 worth of trophies.
That was ages ago. October 6th, two crows sitting on a tree above a graveyard. One says to the other, where's them effing skeletons?
I am devastated. I idolise my dad. I don't know how I'll pay the costs.
October 5th, skeletons have arms, legs and back. Make ideal chairs. Why is he obsessed with skeletons?
He's gone full
Jeremy Bentham.
What I love, and I really appreciate this, Luke, is when Pete actually finds something that he's positive about,
you just told Pete down.
Yeah.
October 5th, later in the day. Imagine skeletons, handlebars on your motorbike made from arms.
This is bizarre.
Breaking
stuff
would be so easy and fun.
Oh dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
I just love Neville Southall.
Thank you very much for listening.
We found something you do like, and that's important.
Thank you for listening, everybody, to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. We found something that Pete likes, other than Japan.
Japan. You should go to Japan with Big Neville.
Oh, my goodness.
Big Neville. He wouldn't fit in anywhere.
Pete, I would...
Literally.
Oh, yeah, that is a fair point, actually.
I would commission that TV show. Yeah. Right here, right now. My own money.
Pete and Nev and Pat Nevin. Yeah. In Nihon.
The Thrilling Three. Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
Onsens with Neville Southall.
Did we know what? Left?
Yeah. Oh, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later. Let me just press this button.
Bye from me.
Where is the thick? There it is.
Find it.
Skeletons.
Grabbed a guy called Brendan Doherty. He's a Manchester United fan, but he says...
grab our listeners.
He says, no, well, it's okay. I always get a permission slip. he says the following. Hi, Ramble.
I said permission to slip there.
No. I didn't say that. The same way that the Matt Murray thing wasn't said that way either last week.
Listen back. All right, everyone. It's the true Geordie here.
Big Geordie.
Have we not got homes to go to? And Brendan... Right, do you want me to start from the top?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, everyone. Yeah.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? I work at Holland and Barrett, showing off my muscles and selling creatine powder to people.
Does he? Is that what he does?
He looks like he does.
I don't know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.